Word now from Matthew chapter 28. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, that's page 989. And it's from verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age."
Well, friends, it's a delight to invite Brother Daniel to come and speak. Some of you may have heard him a couple of years ago speak here in a day seminar. And yesterday he gave us a day, and that was a very stimulating day. So would you make him welcome as he comes up? We've worked Daniel hard this weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday and all day today, so we're going to hold him up for this last one. But I thought it'd be good to introduce him a little and ask him a couple of questions. And so let's see this. Daniel was born in Iran and lived in that country for a number of years, born into a Muslim country and was himself a Muslim believer. Let me ask you, what did that mean for your life, like year 2025, what was going on at that point?
I became a radical Muslim in the university and followed the Ayatollah Khomeini against the King of Iran, because the King of Iran accepted Israel as a friend, and any Muslim accept Israel as a friend is an infidel and must be killed. So we wanted to kill him. He escaped, and then we captured the country, run the country by Islamic law, and then I became an influential leader in the northern part of Iran, became a leader of a political party, and announced my candidacy for Islamic parliament. But this time I became an opposition to the grand leader, simply because the things they had promised before taking over, but he never followed his promises. So I became an opposition and got a death sentence, because criticizing leader in Islam equates death sentence. Some were killed, some escaped. I was one of them caught and put in a death cell. But
what does it mean to be put in a death cell?
It's a horrible, I mean, literally you're dead, really. It's a horrible prison. I mean, first, excuse me, first I was put in a toilet for 3 months. And then after that, when I got the death sentence, they took me to the other prison with 4 others. We were waiting in the death row. It was a dark room, so we were waiting there for any time to be called for being killed.
Okay. And that's interesting, because before that, you were a trainer of young men and women for suicide bombings in the West.
Well, we were at the beginning, we were all trying to unite with each other, and said that America is enemy and Israel is enemy. We have to prepare younger people to destroy them. But we didn't know that if you cherish hatred in your heart against others, that cherishes that hatred is going to catch your own leg too. So that's what is happening in the Islamic world. Even in a one group, in a one party, they kill each other. So that happened to us. And opposition, you're just an absolute follower. You need to be an absolute follower, because if you questioning in Islam is not tolerated, so you lose your life.
And so you were converted at around about 25 or so?
To Christianity? No, I was 33, actually.
33, okay.
Yeah. I escaped from Iran to Turkey. In Turkey, life was not easy. I was really under pressure, and God, in an amazing way, revealed himself to me. I saw Jesus in a dream, that the world was getting destroyed. I was exactly my father's house. And it was a terrifying situation. People died. Houses were destroyed. So I cried to God that I'm alone here. Nobody's here to help me. Jesus revealed himself to me in a dream and said, "I'll help you come out from your father's house." So I rushed out. My father's house fell down. The following Sunday, I went to an Iranian church in Turkey. Those Iranian refugees in Turkey, Christian refugees, had a fellowship there. I heard my dream from the pulpit, the guide. So that was shocking and amazing. And a few other things happened, and so I became interested in reading their gospel. Mm-hmm. They gave me gospel. Mm. Gospel is an amazing book. So I read gospel for three and a half months. I read it for twice, and I gave my heart to Jesus. Mm. And then after that, my wife and three daughters joined me in Turkey. They didn't know I was a follower of Christ. So that changes, affected my wife. She asked me, and then that was an opportunity I tell her. She was terrified first. Mm. But she saw the changes in me. She loved it. Mm. You know, I was a wild Muslim man. If you're a committed Muslim, you do a whole lot of things to your wife, you know. Mm. The Quran says you can beat your wife, you can lock your wife in the room until she dies. So that changes were amazing to her, and she became interested to know really whether Jesus or gospel changed me. And first she was in a way stealing my gospel and reading it without telling me. But one night I caught her, then after that it became, open. Mm. And then I encouraged her to go to ladies' Bible studies. It's an amazing revelation happened to her, and she had a dream too. Her dream was written in the Bible, and then that opened the door for her to give her heart to the Lord too.
Yes. It's a great story that God has worked a wonder in your life, your family's life, and huge turnaround. The rest of the story is in this book called The House I Left Behind, A Journey from Islam to Christ. This is worth a read. This is a great read, not because it dramatizes a human life, but because it speaks of a great and gracious God who had wonderful grace on a man living in darkness. It's a great book to read. Another book by Daniel is Islam and the Son of God, looking at the differences, how different religions view Jesus. This also is a good read, along with the other books that are available, which you can get after the service at the kiosk. Let me encourage you to read one of them. This one will do wonders for your soul and your faith. But we're going to pray for Daniel as he speaks to us now, because it has been a long weekend. We've made him work hard, and so he's going back home soon to get some holiday, but let's pray for him. Father, we thank you for Daniel. We thank you that you've called him to know you, and we thank you that your grace knows no bounds, and you called a man and his family out of deep darkness into your wonderful light. May you strengthen him now. Thank you for his service to us over this weekend. And we pray now as he speaks, uphold him that we might hear your servant speak your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you. Being my last meeting here, I want to thank you, leaders here, and all people in the church for giving me another chance to come to your church and have fellowship with you. And also I want to say happy Mother's Day to all those who are mothers or have been mothering others. Tonight I'm going to speak about evangelism. Cover three words that are involved in evangelism: risk, reach, and redeem. And encourage all of us to stand for Christ and speak for Christ, because he is the most beautiful one. He is really. And I praise his name that he gave that opportunity to me, you know, to go through many studies throughout my life. When I was in Iran, I was very much interested in philosophy. I'm a classical Iranian poet. You know about mystical philosophy, and also that motivates you to go and learn about other philosophies. And also, after I escaped from Iran, I had a chance to complete my doctorate. The major of my doctorate was culture and religions, to study all religions, philosophies, and culture, and to be fascinated by the values of Christ. I love him so much because I know who he is, and that just gives me power to be always speaking for him. So he is beautiful in everything. Everything. I have reason for every aspect of life for him, that he is the best and the most beautiful one. Philosophically, he is the bride of philosophy. As Gospel says, the Word became flesh. This is amazing. That never happened in any other religion. And yesterday I was teaching here, in all other religions, gods are impersonal. They do not reveal themselves. But in the Bible, God is personal. He yearns to have personal relationship with us, and he revealed himself. The Word became flesh to show his full glory and truth, and to show his beauty to us. And we saw his beauty, and we turned back, looked at our own life. We said, wow, he is good. And opened the door of our hearts. He came in. He came in. Satan ran out. Because they cannot live with each other in one room. They don't like each other. One comes, the other one goes. So that's the beauty of philosophy. He's the prince of philosophy. He's the bride of philosophy. Doctrinally, he's the living hope. He is alive. He is living hope. He has every quality. He is the very image of God. He is God. He is best in everything. Politically, he is the modest leader, washed the feet of his own disciples. No leader did that in the world. He did that to show us that a leader is an open leader, gives opportunity to the followers to express themselves. Our God is this. That's why he's called our Father. We can approach him. Socially, he establishes all his social values on unconditional love. He's the God of love. Morally and ethically, he's the most selfless person. He carries his cross with himself to nail every immorality on that cross. So he's the best. He's beautiful. We need to talk about him. But can you believe that? If you want to talk about this beautiful one, there are a lot of risks there and threats there. In Islamic countries, you're dead if you speak about him. And especially if you speak about him with fervent, with zeal, you get killed immediately. And it is shocking to me that in Western societies also it's not easy to talk about this most beautiful one. I taught here in a university for 8 years. I was making money $110 per hour. I was kicked out because of my love toward Jesus Christ. I was actually doing my job. I was a lecturer in cultures and religions. They said to me, take it easy. You know, I was comparing and bringing everything to the surface, helping a student to understand. Even with this English, you see, I'm struggling still with my English. But I'm very good in bringing things and putting on the table. And because of some socialist students and because of some committed Muslims, they complained to the university. They didn't like me, especially Muslims, do not like you, committed Muslim. You have to be dead if you have changed your religion now. You're our lecturer and teacher. It was heavy for them. It's unacceptable. But unfortunately, many universities are dependent on Saudi Arabian money and the other Islamic country money. And many students are coming. They don't want to lose the money. They are ready to lose the truth, but not the money. So they warned me. Even though I was one of the best lecturers, I have still my papers in that 8 years. Every semester they gave me a paper that I was one of the best lecturers there. But after 3 times warning, I couldn't help myself and they kicked me out. I cannot go to universities until 2008. I have been in many universities speaking in public places, speaking about philosophy and doctrines, religions and cultures, but I cannot go now. They think that I am dangerous and people like me are dangerous. Can you believe that in the Western societies? The quality, the relational quality in the Western societies is just like the relational values in third world countries. I don't like to use that word, maybe less developed countries, I say to you. It is shocking in the universities. And they believe that they believe in freedom. Everything is free in the universities but Christianity. And I know in the Western societies, universities actually started by Christians. The first university started in the Western countries, you know, I mean, in America, it was in Philadelphia. But in America now, you cannot talk in any university. The Iranian terrorist government, actually, it was in that country. He was speaking in many, many universities. But people like us cannot speak. You lose your job. There are risks, threats. What we need to do? Our country is under threat. Our lives, our community, what we need to do? Well, I have learned we need to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. Because he has the best option. He has the best, you know, introduced us best, the best manner. He said, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. When first time I read the gospel, I was disappointed. But I loved his transparency. That he never hides the truth behind curtain. He's not like these politicians. They just do not speak the truth to people. He is the good leader. He reveals everything. He's the candle. He's the light. And then, on the other hand, he says, all authority in heaven and earth given to me. I'm sending you. Go to people and speak to them. Teach them whatever you have learned from me and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Apparently, they are contradicting each other. I'm sending you like a sheep there, so be ready to die. But on the other hand, he says, speak like lions with power. Why? Because there are two extreme attitudes in the world. You have no choice to follow one. One is the extreme harshness, hostility. The other one is the other extreme, love and kindness. If you want to speak about the truth, you cannot take the hostility. Because truth tries to bring people together, to reconcile them to one another. You can't become friend with people by hating them, by attacking them. Oh, I hate you, but I want to become your friend. That doesn't make sense. So he's right. He's saying that you need to approach them with the quality and identity of truth. So towards their attitudes, you do not treat them in the same way they treat you. Don't worry about your body. Carry your cross with you. But when it comes to truth, stand for the truth no matter how costly it'll be. Why? Some people say, why? Why should I carry my cross? Why should I go and put my life in risk? Well, because of love. If you love someone, you love that person 100%. You don't approach your spouse and say to her or to him, oh, I love you so much, but 85%. You don't say that. I think even you do not dare to say to that person, I love you 99.99%. You can't do that too. Because that 0.1% means something ugly. Darling, I will love you 99 years or 99 years, 360 days. I'll spend that one day with another lady, something like that. If you love really someone 100%, you have to express that love 100%. So there's a loving relationship between us and truth, between us and Christ. Wisdom is saying, if you ask even non-Christian people in the world, should we stand for the truth? The common wisdom in the world says, yes, we have to stand for the truth. But if you read the gospel, you have read the gospel, you understand, you have to understand, you have to stand for the one you love. And that's why many parents, they risk their life for their beloved one, for their children. Because there is a loving relation. Actually, not only, this happens among humanity. I watch a lot of animal shows. Among them also, they risk themselves, their lives, moms especially, for their children. So this is something is from God. He has created us in His own image. It is in us, and we have to practice it. So we need to take risk and go to others. Then comes the word reach, reaching out, going to people. You know, if you're living 100% in love, that love cannot be hidden. We see in our daily life, if people are excited, something happened in their life, they express themselves. They want to talk to other people. I have a grandchild today. I have a child. I am actually engaged. I have a boyfriend. I have a girlfriend. People express that because love cannot be hidden. The love of Christ is similar. You cannot hide it. If you're living in truth, it's impossible to hide it. Unless you haven't understood the truth. So you go. How do you go? You go by the identity of truth. You go, you take the identity of the person you love with yourself. In other words, for Christ, you take the cross of Christ with you. You take the words of Christ with you. That's your identity. That's our identity. We are His. He is ours. Only through Him we can reach out to people. In every aspect, He is victorious. He has conquered the world. I have overcome the world, He says. In every way, He said, I have surpassing reason, victorious reason in every aspect of life for you to take that victory and manifest that victory to other people in every aspect of life, as I mentioned to you, philosophically, doctrinally, socially, politically. That's what we need to do. We are light. He never said to us, we are only a spiritual light. He never said that. He said, you're salt of the world, light of the world. That means in every aspect. But we Christians are so much behind. We are not able to reveal the values of Christ to shake the world. We need to do that. Younger people, we need to do that. It's easier now. It's easier. Everything is in the website. Google it for God's sake. As that show said. Spend 1 hour, 2 hours a week. I want to know the difference between the philosophy of Bible and other religions. You know, philosophy, you have heard sometimes difficult things, you know, even philosophers speak difficult words. But now philosophy, I'm talking about the philosophy of Christ, philosophy of gospel. It's so simple. Daily you use that in your home. Philosophy means cause and reason. Philosophy means why. You ask question, that kind of philosophy. You can find it in a simple way. You can prepare yourself. Why Jesus doctrinally is different to others? Why politically? He said he was politically, he was a leader, washed the feet of his disciples. You need to reveal this. You need to reveal his ethical values, his economic values. Oh my goodness, it's so powerful. There is no economy in other religions. Only the Bible has economy. The work ethic is only in the Bible. No other religions have work ethic. In all other religions, you do not have right to have the wage of your work according to their religion. No in Shintoism, no in Buddhism, no in Islam, only in the Bible. You do not close the mouth, you know, you do not tie the mouth of oxen even. They have to eat if you are getting it to work for you. So in everything, light is there. We need to reveal that and shook our universities, shake them, I'm sorry for my English, shake them. Amaze them, wow. You know, I taught in the university with this language that amazed some of the professors there. I had the opportunity to talk to them. I amazed them. Bible is amazing. We need to reveal those values. We need to take them with ourselves. That's our identity. They are our qualities. If we do not take them, we will not be a good sample for Jesus. You know, he's God. He can change people in a big bang like this. But now, that's not his plan. He has decided from the beginning. This morning I was preaching for moms. From the beginning he decided, and he spoke to woman. He said, through your offspring, I'll do that. Through you and I. So he loves us to be prepared to do that. Please prepare yourself. Please. Because Australia is losing. Horrible things are happening in Western countries. You can't believe that, really. Sometimes you're thinking, should I go and take, you know, be a refugee in Islamic countries? It's shocking, really. But it's going passively, progressively. We do not understand that. But the solution is for us is Jesus Christ. When we take these qualities with us and go to people, we'll amaze them. They will see light in us. That's the time of redeeming. The third word, redeem. Redeeming time is the manifestation of God. It's the personal manifestation of God. You have taken risk for your beloved one. You have prepared yourself and gone to people. They have tested you in every aspect. They have seen the light in your attitudes. They have seen and heard about life through your words. They are now touched. And now the ground is ready for Christ to come in order to build a personal relationship. That's an amazing moment. That's the moment of tears, change, amazing moment. And that's the moment of joy for you. I have many joyful stories in my heart, in my evangelism with people, especially with Muslims. I have led clergy to Christ. In one of my books, actually, I have given one of them, I have written there, 50 pages, a clergy attacked me in one of the African countries, in a neighborhood Islamic Muslim mosque. He attacked me in the church. I just said to him, "Sir, could you please give me 5 minutes or 10 minutes? I talk to you. If you don't like it, then you can kill me, sir." He was challenged in front of people. He gave me a few minutes. I talked to him. Those words caught him. And that became an introduction for my six-month email conversation with him. And after 6 months, he gave his heart to the Lord. His mosque people wanted to kill him, and he escaped. He was a leader in the mosque. He escaped. He lost a lot of things. That's the touching moment. You have paved the ground, prepared the ground for Jesus to come from heaven and have personal relationship with the person with whom you have been working. It's an amazing, amazing moment. I was speaking to an Iranian professor of philosophy. You see, people are educated, but they do not know. Why? Because they are not coming out of their own circle, their own belief circle. Many people here I saw in the universities, many lecturers and professors, they call themselves socialists and atheists, but they do not know what atheism and socialism is. I'm not lying to you. I have seen this just by name. And some of them know, but they are just inside the circle. They haven't taken a step out to know others. And this professor was the same. He was a professor of philosophy. He didn't know. I have been working with him several times. And the God, our God, the God of light, opened his eyes. And he cried like a baby in front of me. He said, "This is embarrassing. I should have known this. I should have thought about that." The joy came into his heart and he gave his life to Christ. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to be prepared to take risk, because there is a loving relationship between Christ and us. We need to go. We need to reach out. Why? Because love does not keep quiet. Love has made you free. You can walk. You can go to captives. They cannot come to you. They are not free. You need to go to them. You need to take risk and go to them. When you go to them, then the redeeming section. So don't forget this. Risk. Take a risk. Don't be scared. He's in control of everything. From the time I started my ministry so far, I have been attacked so many times. And even in a few instances, God saved me from certain deaths. But he is in control. My time hasn't finished. So take risk. Prepare yourself. Please prepare yourself, younger people. Prepare yourself. If you love the Lord, because of that love, you need to be able to introduce him to other people. And then you'll become a ground for God to come down from heaven. God bless you all. Thank you so much.